Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
Well, would you look at that?
Look at that now, we're back, look at that. It's been such a long time without podcasts. We haven't done one in about, it's been 50 years anyhow.
We have been a bit work shy.
I've been a bit work shy, and there's been people screaming at us for podcasts. They've been screaming.
Because they've been going, so Glory Days is what we're calling it. Now, as you'll see when you check out the podcast, it's Days with a Z. So it's kind of like a reflection of, you know, obviously Morning Glory is the actual show that we do on Radio Nova. And then the Glory Days bit really is the fact that PJ and myself do sort of spend a lot of time not really knowing what's going on. So it's that sort of Days.
It's Days with a Z, yeah.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's where it kind of came from.
So here
somebody clever thought it up. It wasn't us.
And now this is the thing. This is a much more professional outfit than we used to be with the old podcast. So are we allowed to curse on... we have to go through some words. Are you allowed to say shite?
Yes. When you say that on the radio anyway.
I do not.
You do so regularly.
You
say
need
that.
To knock that on the head, man. You shan't be letting me do that. You can't be letting me come in here and saying those things on the real radio.
Yeah, that's you say all sorts. And the other thing
I
is,
I don't do it on the radio. I only do it in the part from 6 to 9 that doesn't go out to the public.
Is that what it is?
That's all. Yeah.
And the other thing you do is you do have your regular range of euphemisms for things that you want to swear, like phenolics and all that.
I do love that. There's something sort of, it's like fart or fnart. I always like to say holy fnart,
right.
Or go fnart your trousers, or fnart off you fnart and fnollocks you, or go, yeah, you know that, or go snore yourself to death, you arse chole. I don't know why these things are so much enjoyment. There's real enjoyment
in it. It's not as though anybody doesn't know what you really intended to say.
Yeah, go on, you big
old. But somehow you sort of think you're getting away with it. They've got no comeback. I did not use foul language to you.
You did so, you dirty old biddy banger. What's a biddy banger? Well, none of your business.
To be fair, actually, I'd be curious to know what a biddy banger was.
Yeah.
Actually, mate, you know something? It might be better if I didn't know.
That's the great thing about it. They sell. It's great. It's a really good skill I think I have. It is the only skill I have. That I can insult you and it can mean nothing and something at the same time.
Somebody can walk away from you having had a heated discussion and wonder whether or not you were giving them, you know, calling them names or paying them compliments.
What did he call me? He called me a dirty old bins dollop. What's that? I don't know. I don't know what a bins dollop is.
Maybe it was a compliment. Maybe that's what he meant.
Yeah, maybe it's a functional tool that they use in the corporation to keep crap off the streets. I don't know what a bins dollop is. Yeah,
it sounds like something we should invent. It's you know, there's a part of me wouldn't mind. Like if you turned around and told me a bins dollop was on a menu, I'd be kind of curious.
Yeah, actually, it's a good name for a pizza. I'll have the bins dollop. What's that? It's absolutely
everything.
Frucking everything. It's absolutely every frucking thing we have in this Benolican place is what it is called a bins dollop. A 12-inch bins dollop. I'm going to go, a 12-inch bins dollop.
Oh my God. That's the biggest bins dollop I've ever seen.
Give me that with some fnart and garlic bread. I'm going to lash that into me. Oh, I can't wait to get me mouth around the bins dollop. It's going to be gorgeous. Yeah. Oh.
Right, so I think we've established that your swearing is allowed-ish.
As allowed-ish,
yeah. Because it does, to be honest with you, it amazes me. In all the years I know you, it amazes me, right? Because obviously I get to talk to you a lot, not on the radio.
Unfortunately for you, yeah.
Right, so it's extraordinary the level to which, now, I mean, I'm no saint, you know what I mean? But like you, I mean, I'd say there's dockers who'd be embarrassed by you with your language sometimes.
Well, that's,
And yet you seem to get through 4 hours and you never come out with a, we've had one slip.
I had one, yeah, do you remember that?
That was a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
There was one slip. And the gas thing about it is, right, if I was to do it, I'd be condemned. I'd be dragged into offices and people would be outraged and there'd be letters going to the BAI.
The ward, yeah.
And PJ did it and everybody chimed in on the WhatsApp going,
yeah,
fair play to you, PJ. Call it like it is.
Yeah.
Say what you mean. Good man. Laughy face. Ah, good man, PJ.
Do you know why that is? You should know better.
I can't believe I'm getting kicking for your swearing.
You should know better. That's the whole point. Jim, you're a professional. You've been in the business for all these years. You know
how
better.
How dare you call me a professional?
You know how
of
to conduct yourself.
Of all the swear words you've used against me, that's the worst.
You know how to conduct yourself. Giving me a job on radio is like getting a guard dog for a butcher shop. You come in the next day. There's not. You haven't been robbed.
I tell you something.
But there ain't no sausages left.
And there's no Bin's dollops.
And you won't find a Bin's dollop there.
They've gone for a Burton. Right, listen. Anyway, so the plan behind Glory Days is, apart from this general waffling on about Bin's dollops, is it is some of the best bits, some of the highlights that we feel from the week that was. Okay, so on the way, for example, in this episode, you're going to get to hear PJ get a bit of a land from a celebrity, from a proper celebrity.
Yeah, that was very embarrassing.
As a result of the celebrity birthdays, that's on the way. There's, of course, this was the week that PJ was unveiled as the face of dog poo.
Yes.
And we had a very special celebration
Mr.
on the radio.
Mr. Shanight, I like to say.
And in fairness, a radio first. Also, we were chatting about workplace disasters, and it led to a little bit of PJ Gallagher's employment history and why maybe he's turned out the way he has.
Oh, this was the electrocutions.
So that's worth it. And then, of course, we had in the latter part of the week, we had a bit of nostalgia with the cartoons and the fact that I know I sound like Muttley, right? I get it.
He really does.
I get it. People keep telling me. It's true. What can I say?
I know.
But what we didn't know is how much PJ sounds like Scooby-Doo and Yogi Bear.
It's unbelievable. And I managed to laugh like Woody Woodpecker. I'm not even a human being. I'm just a walking animated version of a human being. You know, that's all it is.
Anyway, we'll talk to you the other side. It's on the way.
See you on the other end. Don't be going anywhere now.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Right at the very start of the show, when we come on air at 6 o'clock, one of the first things that we do at 6 o'clock in the morning is we do the celebrity birthdays, okay? And the idea behind the game is very simple. I select some famous names who are celebrating the birthday on any given day, and then PJ attempts to guess the age of those celebrities, right? That's the game.
Yes.
Right, so this morning, okay, there was a little bit of confusion. Again, wasn't there? Because
yes.
It was the birthday of the great Leo Sayre, right? And in fairness, you knew all the songs. We mentioned all the songs. You Make
knew
Me Feel Like
songs.
Dancing, Thunder in My Heart, When I Need You.
Well, I knew them when you sang them, yeah.
Yeah, you were aware of all of those songs or whatever. You just had a bit of an issue trying to place Leo himself, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I did, yeah. He looks like a lot of people. Come on, he's a, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot
what,
of...
There was, you lumped him in with who? Gilbert O'Sullivan?
Gilbert O'Sullivan, Richard Simmons, and your man, Simon Garfunkel's fella friend.
Art Garfunkel,
yeah.
Right. So, for the purposes of clarity, let me just say...
There's no need for this.
All the way from Australia, Leo Sayre, good morning to you, sir.
Hello? How you doing, gentlemen?
This can't be real.
This is absolutely real.
This can't be real.
Can I paint a picture for you? I've rang my good friend Leo Sayre from Australia. He's a wonderful, wonderful man. We've had many, many quiet drinks and lunches over the years. And it is his birthday. He's backstage at a gig, about to go on stage.
No way!
In Toowoomba in Queensland. And we were going to wish you happy birthday, Leo. And please, can you describe...
I know, isn't that nice?
It is. I'm telling you something.
I'm very honoured, and it's lovely to making a connection with Dublin and Ireland again, because we're really sad to announce this year that we can't do the concerts were scheduled. I know, in September, but we will be doing them next year. My good friend Pat Egan has got it all lined up. We've got
brilliant.
Some new dates. We were supposed to go to the Bord Gáis, and in fact, in 2019. I was on my way from Limerick to Cork when suddenly the Irish government, and you can't blame them, sort of said, no gatherings over 200 people.
Oh, no.
So I had to shuffle back to Australia.
Oh, my
and
God.
And we're only just starting to work again here in Australia. So, you know, we're very lucky. COVID hasn't been too bad here.
Mike.
So I'm doing a show tonight, and it's my 73rd birthday.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I tell
I'm
you something.
I'm very happy to be on stage doing it.
And you're looking very well on it. Very well on it, may I say. And
thank
also,
you. I'm loving life. It's good.
Can
it
I
only
just,
gets better.
Can I just officially introduce you to my co-host here, PJ Gallagher?
Yeah.
Who, despite being a massive, massive fan of a lot of your tunes.
Of all your tunes.
He just, for some reason, he had a massive mental block this morning in confusing me with some of the other musical greats.
Leo.
Oh, you can't do that. You
I know.
I get this Richard Simmons stuff all the time.
All the time. I'm
and,
so, oh my God.
We have no connection.
Oh my God. I can't believe this. I'm so embarrassed. I've never been so embarrassed in my life. I've never been so embarrassed in my life.
And Gilbert and I get mistaken. They go up to him and ask him, you know, Gilbert, how did you write When I Need You? And they come to me and they say, Leo, tell me about Claire. Who was Claire?
But
Gordon, as his real name is, he and I have laughed about this many, many times. And we kind of stir it up. In fact, I think we were standing outside a theatre once together, and we were both, and they said, Gilbert Sullivan, and he pointed to me, and I pointed to him.
Oh, stop.
So the confusion has gone on deliberately. Ray, rather. Sorry, Ray, his name.
I'd say,
this is amazing.
We have a laugh with it.
You're being very generous, I have to say.
Leo, you're the soundest man. Of all the stupid things I've ever done, this is right up there. And I mean, you've been an absolute gentleman about it. And I mean, if anybody confused my birthday, I'd never forgive them, you know.
I'm a big fan of Gilbert, so he can get away with it any time. He's a marvellous man, great talent, great Irishman. So, you know, we share those things. And, you know, I'm a bit of an Irishman as well because my mum came from Fermanagh. So, you know, basically, I've got a lot of Irish roots as well.
Brilliant.
It's a very important
part of
my life.
As you say, the important news is that at some stage, we don't know maybe exactly when, but Pat Egan is working on it, and you will be back here. You will be performing back here.
No, we'll be back. I promise it will be somewhere around about September, October next year. When things were a lot safer with COVID, we'll be doing a UK tour as well. And I guess we'll be up, you know, we'll be in Belfast as well. We'll be down in Cork. We'll be in Dublin at the Bord Gáis, you know, which is one of my favorite places in the world. And hopefully we can even add some more dates. Maybe we'll get back to Derry.
Hopefully we can also introduce PJ to you in person at that stage. So he'll never make the same mistake again.
I'm mortified.
Absolutely. Go slap him on stage.
Please do. If anybody deserved to be slapped publicly, it's absolutely me. They never even told me you were coming on the show. Now, Leo, they never told me you were coming on the show. The two little...
Stop it.
Yeah, these two disgusting fart bags walked in and just sat down and never said you were coming on the phone. Oh, my God.
Well, I'll tell you what. You've got to do something for me. You've just got to have an extra Guinness and Murphy's for me.
There you go.
Absolutely.
He can do that. Listen, Leo, thank you for being so nice about it. Thank you for being a perfect gentleman. Thank you for talking to us all the way from Australia.
Thank you so much for...
And happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Me in the middle of the woods. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Leo Sarah. Oh, my God. This is incredible.
Bless you.
Take care,
Many
sir.
Many more years
Take
to
care.
Come.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers.
Have a great day.
You
love too. To everybody out there.
Bye-bye now. Now how do you feel, eh?
Absolute flipping backstards. Oh, my God. That's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened in my life. That's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened in my life. I thought you were going to bring on my ma or some of my friends to laugh at me. Or maybe even Simon Garabunkel or whatever the hell his name is. He actually brought the man himself on. Oh my God, shame on me and you and everybody.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Who let the dogs out?
Here we go. I tell you something, this is very exciting. Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova, the culmination of Dog Poo Bingo, an Irish radio first.
Unbelievable. This is it, Dog Poo Bingo. It's a, like Jim says, it's never been done on radio before. We have in waiting a grid. We have a dog. We have numbers 1 to 16 laid out, sort of superimposed on the ground. And we have, most importantly, our dog wrangler, dog handler, man who loves dogs more than anybody else, who works in Dogs Trust. And he's going to talk to us now.
Jason, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Very well indeed. Now, just to remind people, okay, that you can get on this right now if you go to the Radio Nova Facebook or Twitter. It's at Radio Nova 100, okay? Facebook and Twitter, there is a live stream happening courtesy of our friends at Dogs Trust, okay? And you'll see that grid. It's numbered 1 to 16, okay? And the idea is that we're going to find out. Jason is going to talk us through the process with Max. You have Max standing by, Jason, yeah?
How are you indeed? He's right beside me.
He's right beside you, right? So what Jason's going to do is he's going to take Max out into this area, and you'll see Max appear. If you're watching this on Facebook or Twitter, remember, at Radio Nova 100, Facebook or Twitter, you'll see Max appear, okay? And then we'll leave Max to his own devices for a while, nature will take its course, PJ.
Hopefully nature is going to take its course. That's what we're planning. So let's see if Max can do his business. Of course, they always say, never depend on animals and anything, but we're doing it. We're going to have a go.
He's very reliable.
He's very reliable. And remember, this is all part and parcel, by the way, of a big campaign from Dogs Trust Ireland called The Big Scoop. It's a really important thing our very own Pooh J. Gallagher, as he's been rechristened
for the day,
is going to be the face of this campaign. The idea is it's a big push for dog owners to make sure they pick up their poo, okay, their dog's poo, and dispose of it responsibly. Two parts to it. Make sure you pick it up, and then make sure you deposit it in a proper bin or whatever it is, you know, whether it's your own bin at home or a proper public bin or whatever.
Carry it somewhere till you can. It's not exactly heavy.
That's the push. And of course, everybody who voted and who best so far, okay, if Max does his number two in whatever number you went for, okay, then you'll be in with a chance to win one of these fantastic €50 vouchers courtesy of Maxi Zoo, Ireland's largest pet retailer. 20 stores around the country for you to spend. So are you on the current walk, Jason, at the moment, or are you about to take off or what?
I'm ready to go. It'll take us about 15 seconds to get
okay,
there.
Well, you start strolling there, right? And we'll stay with you for a little while, right? And there's no guarantee that Max will necessarily perform on cue.
No, there's not. Of course, he's not. He is a dog. I'm also worried about the pressures on Max. You know,
I'm hoping
one thing
to get there without him going.
What?
I'm hoping to get there before he goes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
So
God.
This could be over very quickly, people. This could be... Max could be... He could be good to go, literally, in every sense of the word here.
Get him up into your arms.
Open. I'm monitoring the screen happening live on Facebook and Twitter, at Radio Nova 100, Facebook and Twitter.
It's ludicrous.
It is Ireland's first ever dog poo bingo. There's a lot riding on this. What will it be? 1 to 16 squares, potentially. 4 is... he's lingering in 4 at the moment.
A long linger here.
That's a long linger. He's thinking to himself, right, do I like the people who voted for number 4?
Yeah,
he's a fine-looking dog, Max, isn't he?
Yeah, what type of dog is Max?
He's a Belgian Shepherd.
Belgian Shepherd. So he looks, to be honest, in this camera I'm looking at and looking at you, he looks like he's at least 4 foot tall.
Not far off.
Is this normal behaviour
yeah.
for Max?
I think he's a bit shy this morning.
Is that what it is? Do you reckon he knows the cameras might be on him?
He's not the biggest fan of people watching, you know.
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, PJ Gallagher's a bit the same. Yeah. PJ's a bit like that. He doesn't go well in public space.
I get nervous when I have to go to do a public wee. I get nervous.
Yeah,
I do. Sometimes
nervous,
I don't want to go. So
it's
I understand
where Max is coming from.
100%. I can sympathise with Max greatly.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, hang on. Have we got something going on?
He's in one.
What?
13.
Hang on a second, because our feed is slightly behind where what Jason is seeing live. So.
Hold on.
Hang on a second.
Hold on.
Hang on a second.
Hold on.
It's happening. It's happening.
It's happening. We have a live poo on the radio. There's a live poo on the radio. It's going to drop in. It's going to drop. We're on
the line. Oh, my God. It's right
16.
On the line.
You know, it's going to drop into the bottom.
It's right on the line.
It's going to drop. Oh, my God. It's going to drop in either one or two. It's in. It's in. I see it.
Are we going for 9?
9.
9 is the winner.
Number 9. Good on you, Max. Right on cue.
Oh, my God. That was close because it's very close to 15.
Very close to the edge.
I suspect there might be a number of 15s who'll be posing a steward's inquiry. But no, 9.
9.
We have... Jason, are you going to... Well, sure, Jason, you're live on the spot. I mean, for God's sake, you can't even see the numbers.
Yeah.
What am I asking you for? But anyway, so 9 we're going to go for, yeah?
9. It's definitely 9. I'm looking at it right there. It's plain as day. It's in the top... in the middle at the top. Box number nine.
Listen, Jason, thank you so much. Of the many things I'm sure you have done in your life or will have to do in your life, this will probably race as one of the more bizarre ones. But listen, thanks so much for all your help and all the gang out in Dogs Trust, and best of luck with the Big Scoop campaign. Thanks, man.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Cheers, buddy. Cheers. Bye-bye. Right, there we go.
Sorry, I just had to take a picture of that for photographic evidence.
Of course. Let's say a huge thank you to Max. So,
good for you, my friend.
If you voted for square number 9, you're in with a chance of a magnificent Maxi Zoo €50 voucher, Ireland's largest pet retailer, 20 stores across the country. We'll do a draw and we'll announce the winner very shortly. Oh,
what
my God, the excitement.
What a dog, what a campaign, what an absolute great result. He timed it perfect. He's a beautiful hound. I'm so sorry, but this has been an amazing success. Jim McCabe, I've never been prouder to be the face of poo in Ireland. Never been prouder. I'd like to thank all my friends and family for having me involved in what has been an amazing...
It was Max who did the job. Max was the star of this particular show.
Yeah, but he did it for my face, Jim.
Actually, don't we should have done. Realistically, you should have been there to pick up the poo.
No problem.
In fact, we should have had a big PJ Gallagher face dartboard for him to shit on.
That's a bit harsh.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
Thanks a million, by the way, for all of the WhatsApps and the texts and stuff about the trade disasters or whatever. There was a few belters. There's people whose hair has gone awry. There's all sorts of mad stuff. Like this, for example. Morning, my aunt. This is Kevin Finglas, right? My aunt was working for an undertaker.
Oh, God, no.
Straight away, I know, you're on guard. And sent the wrong body.
No.
For cremation.
Oh, jeepers. I mean, this is the worst. That's of all the ones I've ever heard, I think, as far as work disasters go. That's going to be the worst.
And then the body, obviously, that was destined for cremation was sent for burial. Whatever, you know what I mean? So there was two families that were...
I actually feel a bit sick when you tell me this. Know, it makes me feel a bit like, oh my...
Apparently, right, it gets worse because the woman of one of the deceased, obviously, went mad.
Of course she did.
At the aunt. And the aunt's response was, sure they're dead, it won't change anything.
Oh my God. What in the name of God is wrong with you? What is wrong with you that you think that that's a good excuse? Suffice, I mean, most of us will be in a fit of apologies for the rest of our lives. She's yourself.
And feeling awful about it. Feeling emotionally.
And her attitude is, should you know yourself?
Yeah, nothing's going to change.
She's a goner now, anyhow. Hey,
Oh my God. Suffice to say, according to Kev anyway, that was the end of her career in the undertaking world.
And rightfully so. I hope she never gets a gig in that field again.
That is shockingly bad.
Isn't it mad?
That's some of the stuff that was coming in. 087-1818-100. But then, that story, when PJ told us a story there earlier on, about whatever it was, 10, 15 minutes ago, about you doing that weird thing with your, when you were in work.
Oh, you want to go in the electric
shock? Giving yourself an electric shock. Not even knowing. Awful. You didn't even know you were giving yourself an electric shock.
No, I thought I was being attacked.
You thought somebody was hitting you just.
Yeah, and I thought I got a dig in the back and I was like, oh yeah, very funny, yeah, very funny. And then made sure everyone looked at me and then I electrocuted myself again. Yeah.
Right, so off the back of that, what you won't be aware of is while you were listening to the likes of Imagine Dragons and listening to the headlines and all this sort of stuff, PJ, just tell me about, PJ used to work, you know the comedian Jason Byrne, okay? Brilliant comedian, we love Jason Byrne. He's a very good, he's probably your best pal.
We've grown up together, yeah.
Before the pair of them were in comedy, they actually worked together in this place.
In a warehouse, A warehouse called Lightning Dimensions, yeah. But it was mad, because when I went there first, they obviously had no respect. Back in the day, when you were allowed to do mad things in work, you can't do anything like this anymore.
Right.
But I turned up, and of course I was new. And one of the first things they did was, they stuck a birdcage on me head, and tied me up with gaffer tape. And they brought me outside onto the road and they gaffer taped me, like sellotaped me, industrial taped me onto a lamppost with a birdcage on my head and just left me standing there. And this woman, obviously...
Just because you were the apprentice?
Yeah.
Where did the birdcage come from?
From a bird, who do you think? It wasn't for keeping lizards in.
But it was a birdcage lying around in an electrical wholesaler's.
Well, it was. Obviously, the bird didn't last long, did he? But there was a bird in it at some stage,
and
I assume.
And they just gaffer taped you to a lamp.
It
was your stag or something.
Like it was about to get. And it was only 16 or 17 or something. And some woman in the thing, she called the guards. And the guards turned up. And they got out of their car and looked at me. And they started. And I got, they were pissing themselves laughing. And one of the guys goes, so what do we do? And the other fellow says, sure, leave them there. Sure, they're, look, they have a good, they're keeping an eye on him. They're keeping an eye on him, he says. And they drove off and left me sellotaped.
So the lads at the factory were all just laughing out the window. And the guard thought, sure, he's safe enough anyway.
Come here. The things that went on in this place, they sent us over this new manager from England, right? A guy whose name was Richard Wilson, like the actor, right?
Yeah.
And he was sent over to us.
I can't believe I missed me cue there. His name is Richard Wilson. I don't believe it.
Yeah. He didn't believe it. He came over and it was like, because we were obviously, you know, we were sort of failing as a business and they sent the English manager over.
I wonder why that was happening.
Same here. And he came over, right? And he walked in, he was like, giving it the whole, we're going to clean up the tear and bring it up to professional standards like the office in London, right?
Yeah.
And at the same time, the Olympia were needing a manager as well as our place, right? So we taped him up, right?
Yeah, you taped up the guy who came from England.
The manager. Imagine doing something like this in today's workplace. Taped him up, put him in a flight case, and we called a courier company and had him delivered to the Olympia Theatre with a sign inside the box saying, here's your new manager, have fun.
You are taking
them. No. He walked back up from the Olympia.
This guy who was sent over to sort you out.
Yeah.
Sort all your lot out.
Yeah.
Ended up taped up in a flight case.
Put him in the box, delivered him down by courier. And they let him out and he walked back up and goes, in all my life, I've never seen such an orange display. I can't remember what he said, but it was something very English. An orange display. You know, like he gave us all...
Unprofessionalism.
He was right. He was dead right. It was disgrace. You shouldn't be doing that to people. I mean, I had it done to me. I knew. And there you go.
Oh my God, that, man.
Yeah, I know. It was unbelievable.
It must have been like working in St. Trinian's.
It was a bit like that, yeah. To be fair, it was a bit like that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's like, you're like an episode of the Bash Street Kids or something you were.
In fairness, like, look, the company's long gone now. I'd like to think I contributed to its downfall.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Do you know what I like about this story? There's always these stories that you see coming up in the news and in the media, and it always seems to be designed around making parents feel like they're bad parents. It seems like there's a huge industry and, whoa, if you make parents feel terrible, we can sell them anything, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You need this to be a proper parent.
Yeah, all that for you. Oh, you're still letting your children choose their own? Oh, my God. Oh, my God, your kids are watching TV for a couple of hours. Oh, shame on you, you know?
Yeah.
But this is great because it's the opposite of that. It actually shows us that kids watching TV, it's not completely negative for them. It's actually sometimes can be quite helpful.
Now, so, is this an actual kid survey or is this a survey of adults or across the board or what? Because I have to say, some of the ones in here, I'm kind of surprised about.
Yeah, because this isn't a survey at all as such. What this is an excuse for us to look in nostalgia. That's what this
is. Have you made this up,
No, I haven't. No, here's the story. Okay, here's the story. So Sky Q have launched and they're going to have this new catchphrase sort of... So if a kid says a catchphrase from a show, they'll be able to get the show to come up. You know, what's it called? Voice activation.
Oh, right.
You know, with Sky Q.
So instead of asking for the name of the programme, you just use the catchphrase
from it. So they could like say one of the... They could say, you know, like, Cowabunga, dude, and then The Simpsons will come up. This is terrible. You know what I mean? Oh no, that's the turtle, fellas. Oh, that's the turtles. Oh, jeepers, man.
He's very tired. He was up late last night. Yeah.
Eat my shorts.
Yeah.
Oh, who's that?
Bart.
That's Bart. Bart. Oh my God. Don't have a cow, man.
That's what you're right, okay.
That's what I was thinking.
Close enough.
Jeepers, my head.
I mean, they're virtually the same words in a different order.
Oh, my God. I haven't seen... Sometimes... I needed this when I was young, obviously.
Oh, my God.
So what they're saying is catchphrases are actually very helpful when you're training kids... When you're teaching kids, so things like Thomas the Tank Engine, you can use, you know, if he's a fan of that, you can use choo choo as, you know, to help with the eating. You know, all these upsie daisies. You know, we use these little catchphrases; they become part of our daily vernacular,
right?
And they're actually quite helpful.
Okay.
So, whatever about the story, it just gives us a great opportunity to look back on some of the greatest cartoon catchphrases.
So you're saying that this had nothing to do with cartoons? How catchphrases.
No, it is cartoons.
The
Sky Q it's cartoon catchphrases aids learning.
I have a feeling I've been led down the garden path.
You haven't been led down the garden path at all. This is the story of life. It's in the days.
So is there a chart then? Is there even a list?
There is. Yeah, I'll give you the top five.
Okay.
Top five most popular catchphrases in cartoons.
Right.
So of course, in at number five is Mr. Bugs Bunny.
What's up, Doc?
That's one of your best ever impressions.
It sounded
like the real thing. That was incredible. That's so good, man.
I love Bugs Bunny, man. Bugs Bunny was such a little tyrant.
That's what kind of threw me, because that to me is a cartoon of our age.
Yeah, it is.
It's not something I would imagine that kids today kind of get.
Well, what you see is what's happened here is parents have started voting on behalf of their children, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
You like that Bugs Bunny character, don't you?
No.
The Bugs Bunny. You love Bugs Bunny.
No. Who? and then you go, you do. You're voting for that. At number four, it's Bob the Builder. Of course, we all know this one.
Bob the Builder, can we fix it? Bob the Builder, yes, we can.
Yeah, there you go.
Apart from anything else, that's just a great song.
United Dressing Room, I think. Bob the Builder, I suppose, he is still big, is it? Is that still big? Is that still a big show?
Huge, absolutely huge. People love it. It gets replayed to bits, yeah. I mean, the BL building nowadays would be slightly different. They'd say, you know, can we fix it? Yes, we just need a plan. Or we're not allowed to work together in teams.
Can we fix it? Stay apart.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Oh, I'm in this. I'm in despair. Whatever. Number three is Buzz Lightyear from Toy Story.
To infinity and beyond.
Yeah, I mean, that to me is a catchphrase like, what's up, Doc? I have to say, the Bob the Builder thing, that's just a theme tune, man.
I know.
Was there a specific catchphrase? Does he have one?
No, can we fix it, I suppose. That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose what you do with your kids is you go, can we fix it? And they'll go, yes, we can. So you get a bit of that going on, don't you?
Please don't tell me there's going to be a There's not going to be a big purple dinosaur moment, is there? We're not going to have a I love you, are we?
No.
Thank God.
It never made it.
Because I'm fragile enough as it is this morning.
There's no sign of it. And in fact, the next one, you're going to love the next one, I tell you why. I tell you why, because it's again, it's parents were definitely voting going back to our era.
Right.
Because number two is Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
Yeah. That actually...
Oh, this is so much fun.
Funny enough. Why? That actually does sound like you doing that impression.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
Doesn't it, Clint? Doesn't it sound like PJ doing a Scooby-Doo? But it's the real Scooby.
Yeah.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
See?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Shaggy.
Scooby-Doo does actually, you know, it's not unlike Scooby-Doo in this building. Sure doesn't. I'm Scooby, you're Shaggy. And he's your man. Clint is the, you remember your man that drove the van?
Yeah. Sensible one.
Yeah, the sensible one.
Whereas, to be honest with you, we are kind of Scooby-Doo and Shaggy. We're constantly going around looking for food.
Yeah.
We're just totally motivated by Scooby snacks.
Yeah. And instead of...
Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
Instead of ghosts we're afraid of, it's work. Walking around with, oh, Jesus, they're going to ask us to do something. And the number one is, of course, it's this one. It's very annoying, though. I will warn you in this. And I am warning you, everybody, earworm incoming. It's number one is Frozen.
I mean, the only thing that allows for that today is that it's a very good message. And I'd just like to put that out there to anybody who's in any way interested in football. I think that is a message we can all buy into today. Let it go. Let it go.
Let it go. Let it go. It wasn't important anyway. It was just a bunch of lads from Spain. Let them have it for one or something.
For one day.
Yeah, for a day.
Right, anyway, so that's the official one. Now, we were talking about this, right, and PJ and myself felt that there was a lot of really what we would consider serious catchphrases that were missing from this.
They never made the list at all.
Right.
Never
so
made it.
This one was one of PJ's absolute favourites. Which is excellent.
I mean it.
From the Flintstones.
Fairness.
And in fairness, that again does sound very like you doing it. He speaks like that all the time. Right.
Oh,
I have to say, right, this was one that for some reason just came back into my head.
Now, what's that skinny old hen doing up on the barn?
Not specifically that phrasing, but that where he used to go, I say, boy.
Yeah, what was his name? I keep forgetting his name.
Foghorn Leghorn.
Jeepers. Now, there's a name that I would accept for myself.
And this is one we both thought definitely should have been way up there, right?
Pretty smart.
Smarter than the average bear. Hey.
Hey, boo-boo.
Now, he sounds like Jim in a good mood. Like, you know the way you're slagging me, you're saying I sound like all these. That's literally when Jim comes in and he's on top form. You know, Jim
pretty
on a...
smart.
Smarter than the average bear. Hey,
that's Friday when you go, Jim, are you going home for a couple of cans?
Hey,
that's what he sounds exactly like. Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Hey. Oh. There was also this one that we thought was pretty famous. Pretty old, but pretty famous.
I thought I saw a pussy cat. I did,
I mean, that was...
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it's universal. Lee's the king of Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Looney Tunes was nothing without Tweety Bird.
And then, of course, there was the famous Pat Kenny.
Heavens to Murgatroyd.
I mean, in Snagglepuss, he's exactly like Pat Kenny. He sounds exactly like him.
Wait a second, we should clarify. It's your impression of Pat Kenny.
What do you mean? This sounds... Heavens to Murgatroyd. Coming up on The Late Late Show, we'll be talking about chocolate bars. Mmm.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Yes, it was. There you go. That was our little selection of the highlights of the week this week from Morning Glory. Our little kind of best of. Hopefully you enjoyed that. A few nice memories there.
There you go. Right.
Well, nice memories for me.
Nice memories for Jim because he got to laugh at me. I have to go and buy new trousers today. Can I tell you that? I have to go and buy new trousers. I'm in dire need. I've only got... I'm down to three pairs of jeans. And look at this. You can see the gusset is about to pop. By the way, I'm giving people, them the spit. See the way the gusset is about to pop.
Can I just point out, I'm very glad that Clint is here to witness this. Because, I mean, when I bring my case to the tribunal, You know what I mean? I want there to be actual evidence.
Yeah,
I that you'd literally go around and you're splaying your mansplaining yourself.
Only want to show you. Come here and rub it. Rub the gusset, Jim. You'll see, it's about to pop. If you rub it there, you see right there.
I do not want to rub your gusset, just like I didn't want that to do with your bin's dollops.
Well, so.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Enough is enough, man.
Oh, I have a problem, you see, because I have to do this photo shoot thing, right, during the week.
Yeah.
And I've only got 3 pairs of jeans in my life left. And one of them is too big, and the other one is, like, too small. And this is the only pair left that fit, and I'm about to burst the gusset.
Who do you buy your jeans off?
The three pairs.
DJ goes into the Three Bears for men and tries them on. Ooh, this one's a bit big.
Yeah.
Ooh, this one's a bit small. Ooh, this one is just right.
But the gusset is about.
But somebody's already bought
But somebody's already. So, Mammy, somebody's already bust the gusset on my pants. Yeah, I know.
Oh my God.
So I have to go and try and get another pair of fit with a healthy gusset.
That could be a new modern fairy tale. PJ and the Three Jeans.
The Three Jeans. That's a what?
Once upon a time, there was a boy called PJ.
There was a boy called Farty Pants. And he was just about to blow the gusset out of his shorts. So he went to the Three Bears shop.
Oh my God, man.
It really is a bit like that, isn't
it? Can I just point out, right, by the way, that one of something you may not have heard, because I don't think we said it on the air, was there was a song. I'm trying to remember where it came from. I don't think we played it, because we wouldn't. We only play exceptionally good music on Radio Nova. But
and Simply Red.
But there was a song came along, and PJ referred to it as music to buy trousers by.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Which is, I get elevator music.
Yeah.
And I get all that, but like.
There's a separate
turn. Oh my God, that's music to buy trousers.
Who was
by.
It again?
I don't know.
It was some crap.
But I've decided I want it to be our first album. I want that to be our first album.
Yeah.
PJ and Jim, music to buy trousers by.
With such.
Available in all good record stores now.
With such hits as Bust Your Gusset as number one.
Yeah. Stick a bin dollop in your pocket and call me over.
Yeah. And don't forget that old classic, Three Bears Can't Take These Pants Off of Me. This is a great old show. Yeah.
Right. Listen,
great DVD.
Let's get out of here, will we?
Let's get out of here.
I'm sure people have better things to be doing with their day.
I doubt it. But it's great talking to you again, you frupping shower of backstards.
And the bin's dope to you too. Yeah.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie, or on the Nova app.